ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 21st। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द मूवमेंट्स ऑफ द सन। वी विल रीड फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 12 ऑनवर्ड्स। एवं मुहूर्तेन चतुस्त्रिंशल् लक्ष्ययोजनानि अष्ट शताधिकानि सौररथस् त्रयीमौ असौ चतुष्षु परिवर्तते पुरिषु। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। दस द चैरियट ऑफ द सन गॉड विच इज त्रयीमय और वर्शिप बाय द वर्ड्स ओम भूर्भुवः स्वः travels through the four residences mentioned above at a speed of 3,400,800 yojanas in a muhurat. That is 27,206,400 miles. Text number 13. The chariot of the sun god has only one wheel, which is known as Samvatsara. The 12 months are calculated to be its 12 spokes. The 6 seasons are the sections of its rim, and the 3 Chaturmasya periods are its 3 sectioned hub. One side of the axle carrying the wheel rests upon the summit of Mount Sumeru, and the other rests upon Manasuttara mountain. Affixed to the outer end of the axle, the wheel continuously rotates on Manasuttara mountain like the wheel of an oil pressing machine. Text 14. As in an oil pressing machine, this first axle is attached to a second axle, which is 1/4 as long, that is 3,937,500 yojanas, or 31,500,000 miles. The upper end of the second axle is attached to Dhruva Lok by a rope of wind. Text 15. My dear king, the carriage of the sun god's chariot is estimated to be 3,600,000 yojanas long and 1/4 as wide as 900,000 yojanas. The chariot's horses, which are named after Gayatri and other Vedic meters, are harnessed by Arunadev to a yoke that is also 900,000 yojanas wide. This chariot continuously carries the sun god. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated, Gayatri cha brihati usnig jagati trishtup eva cha anushtup Panktir iti uktas chandamsi harayo ravehe. The 7 horses yoked to the sun god's chariot are named Gayatri, Brihati, Ushnik, Jagati, Trishtup, Anushtup and Pankti. These names of various Vedic meters designate the 7 horses that carry the sun god's chariot. Text 16. Although Arunadev sits in front of the sun god and is engaged in driving the chariot and controlling the horses, he looks backward towards the sun god. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vayu Purana, the position of horses is described. Saptashva rupachandamsi vahante vamato ravim chakrapaksha nibadnani chakre vaksha samahita. Although Arunadev is in the front seat controlling the horses, he looks back towards the sun god from his left side. Text number 17. There are 60,000 saintly persons named Valikhilyas and each the size of a thumb, who are located in front of the sun god and who offer him eloquent prayers of glorification. Text 18. Similarly, 14 other saints, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas and demigods who are divided into groups of two, assume different names every month, and continuously perform different ritualistic ceremonies to worship the Supreme Lord as the most powerful demigod Suryadev, who holds many names. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said, Stuvanti munaya suryam gandhar vergiyate pura nrityanto apsaro yanti surya syanu nishachara vahanti pannagayakshe kriyate bhishu sangraha valikhilya tathayvainam parivarya samasate soyam saptagana surya mandale munisattama himushno vari vrishtinam hetutve samayam gataha. Worshipping the most powerful demigod Surya, the Gandharvas sing in front of him. The Apsaras dance before the chariot. The Nishacharas follow the chariot. The Pannagas decorate the chariot. The Yakshas guard the chariot. And the saints called the Valikhilyas surround the sun god and offer prayers. The seven groups of 14 associates arrange the proper time for regular snow, heat and rain throughout the universe. Text number 19. Translation. My dear King, in his orbit through Bhumandal, the sun god traverses a distance of 95,100,000 yojanas at the speed of 2,000 yojanas and 2 crores, 16,004 miles in a moment. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Movements of the Sun. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I'd like to seek permission from senior devotees present here, some Srila Prabhupada disciples, especially because this verse is very technical, speaking about sun god. And since many days already devotees have spoken about sun god, so much of information which is known to us is already covered. Just beg for your blessings to speak something on this. In the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end, Shukdev Goswami narrates to Parikshit Maharaj about different kinds of hellish planets. And there Srila Prabhupada says that these hellish planets are so lowly that even the sun doesn't go there. There is no sunshine available there. So after hearing the whole description of hellish planets, Parikshit Maharaj is now a little concerned about all those living entities who are suffering the hellish planets. We can see Maharaj Parikshit is already on the verge of death, and the days are already getting over soon. And in spite of being on the deathbed and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he is not much concerned about himself. He is much more concerned about others. So therefore he is now asking a question to Sukhdeva Goswami that, will those living entities who are suffering in hell, is it possible for them to get delivered? And Shukdev Goswami very eloquently describes the process of atonement. That how, when a person undergoes the process of atonement, then his sinful reactions get nullified. But Parikshit Maharaj is not happy, satisfied with the answer. He questions Shukdev Goswami that, if a person undergoes atonement, only his sinful reactions are eradicated. But the sinful proclivity remains in his heart. As a result, what will happen is, the person will overcome his sinful reactions, but might continue his sinful activities because of sins in his heart, and therefore get more reactions in the future. Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction, text 1, compares this atonement to the bathing of an elephant. When the elephant goes for a bathing, he very meticulously cleans himself with the water. But as soon as he comes out, he sprinkles dust on his body again. And again he is back to square one. He is again dirty. Prabhupada also gives the example of a person going and confessing in a church. Throughout the week he sins, and on Sunday he goes and confesses his sin, and thinks that his sin is eradicated. But then again he goes and continues the same sinful activity. So we can see that sinful reactions even though eradicated, unless sinful proclivity is eradicated, a person will never change. A person continues to sin. Sukadeva Goswami, understanding Maharaj Parikshit's idea, then he speaks the penultimate verse. He says, Kechit kevalya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dunvanti karsneya niharam iva bhaskara. And herein, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about devotional service, the power of devotional service. And he speaks of devotional service, comparing devotional service to sun god, to sun. He says, just like in the morning when the sun is about to appear, even before the sun has appeared on the horizon, the darkness of the night gets dissipated. Even though the sun has not come yet, just the initial rays which comes out, that rays are enough to eradicate the darkness of the earth planet. Similarly, the power of devotional service or the power of holy name is such that even though the pure holy name or the pure devotional service has not yet manifested, but before that, all the ignorance in the heart is dissipated. A person knows things as they are and therefore acts properly. So in this way we can see that very wonderfully the process of devotional service is compared to sun. So in today's presentation we will try to speak something about sun, because sun is a very powerful representative of Lord. So much so that throughout the scriptures our acharyas have spoken various analogies of sun. So today we will cover, try to understand the process of devotional service through the medium of analogy of sun, and we will also cover some pastimes where sun god plays valuable role in devotional service to Lord Krishna. So the most famous example of sun comes in the Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna in the fourth chapter beginning says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham abhyam. Krishna says that, O Arjuna, now that I am speaking Bhagavad Gita to you, but previously, at the beginning of creation, millions of years ago, I spoke the same science of Bhagavad Gita to sun god Vivaswan. So we can see that sun god was very fortunate to have received the mercy of Krishna. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita first to him, he was the first Rajarishi, Krishna spoke to him. And sun god gave this knowledge to his son, that was Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku gave it to Manu. And in this way the knowledge was coming in succession, disciplic succession. So in this way Vivaswan was a sun god. Vivaswan played an important role in getting the message of Vedas. In the Ramayana, one time Gaurangpur was mentioning that one time Hanumanji, he wanted to get some Vedic knowledge. He was a very small child. So he asked his mother Anjana that, I want to get Vedic knowledge, whom should I approach? And Anjana referred that sun god is the first one to get knowledge from Krishna. So you approach sun god and take Vedic knowledge from him. So Hanumanji, because he had got a curse, an arrangement from the rishis, he had forgotten his power. So he asked Mother Anjana that sun is so far away, how I can approach sun? And then Anjana, Mother Anjana reminded him that when you were a small child, just born, you actually leaped to sun god to eat him, considering him to have fruit. So having reminded her, Hanumanji, which was the kind of a arrangement made by Rishi, that if someone reminds Hanumanji of his power, then he might get his powers back and he can use those powers. So Hanumanji immediately leaped to the sun god. And it's mentioned that, as it is mentioned here, the sun god was revolving in his orbits. So Hanumanji approached sun god and begged to get Vedic education from him. But sun god said that, if you want to get Vedic education from me, this is not a proper setting. We need to go to some place where we can sit down and discuss. And you know, I am very busy. I am constantly rotating and revolving in orbit. So how I can provide Vedic education to you? Because I am not constant at any place. So Hanumanji said, no problem. You continue to rotate and revolve and I will fly along with you. And in this way you speak the knowledge to me. And then Vivaswan told him that's okay. But if I have to speak to you as a teacher, teacher should be in the front, should be sitting, and the disciples should be facing to the teacher. So Hanumanji agreed. He said immediately that no problem. What I will do is I will fly backwards. I will stay in front of you. And it's mentioned in 10 days, Vivaswan gave the whole knowledge to Hanumanji. And in this way, Hanumanji received his Vedic knowledge. So in the scriptures, in many places, Srila Prabhupada gives wonderful analogies of sun. Srila Prabhupada at one place defeats the Mayavad theory by giving example of sun. The Mayavadis claim that ultimate everything is Brahman. Even the Paramatma feature and the feature of Lord coming as a mere human being, as they claim, is ultimately coming from Brahman. Srila Prabhupada says that if you want to know the right understanding, then you should refer to the sun. So when you want to see the sun, the first thing you see is the sunlight. And then you go more ahead, then you see that the sunlight is coming from sun globe. And ultimately, if you enter the sun planet, you will see the predominating deity of sun there. Similarly, as you approach the absolute truth, the first thing which comes is the Brahman effulgence. And as you go ahead in your quest for the absolute truth, you will reach the Paramatma feature, which is the localized aspect as compared to the sun globe. But as you go more deeper, you will see that the absolute truth is a person. Just like the sun, the deity of the sun is a person. Similarly, absolute truth is person having Satchidananda Vigraha. And in this way, you can approach Krishna. And finally, the ultimate is Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada said that just like if there is darkness, you cannot see. Sometimes too much light also is not good for seeing. You are blinded by too much light. And therefore in Ishopanishad, devotees are praying that Krishna, you kindly remove the glare of effulgence, this light which is blinding me, so that I can see your beautiful form as Shyam Sundar Krishna. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada defeats the Mayavad theory by saying that how ultimately Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, he is the source of everything. Srila Prabhupada once was visiting Jagannath Puri, and he was a little upset because many of his devotees who had come from outside India were not allowed in Jagannath Puri temple. Srila Prabhupada was upset, and Srila Prabhupada, when he gave lectures in Jagannath Puri, he mentioned many points on how this system should be stopped, and he gave various analogies of sun again. One analogy which Srila Prabhupada mentioned was that if the sun is shining on England, it does not mean that it is English sun. The sun is for everyone. Similarly, the sun shines on India, it doesn't mean it is an Indian sun. The sun is equal to everyone. It's shining on everyone's head. Similarly, Krishna appears in India, but it doesn't mean that Krishna is Indian or is Indian God. Krishna is for everyone. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, Lord Jagannath is Jagannath. He is not Oriyanath or he is not Purinath. He is Jagannath, means he is the Lord of the whole universe. And therefore everyone should get chance, everyone should get an opportunity to serve Lord Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada also said that the sun in the morning appears from the east. So a small child in his childish way might claim that sun was born from the east. But actually sun never takes birth. Sun is always there in the sky. But depending on our position, sun sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. So sun by his own sweet will has appeared from the east. Similarly, Krishna is never born. Krishna is Aja. Ajopi sun avyatma. Krishna never takes birth. But it is seen that Krishna appears by his own sweet will in a country like India. So that is Krishna's own sweet will. It doesn't mean that Krishna is born in India or Krishna is born to a particular parents. No. Krishna is Swarat. He has chosen by himself to appear by his own sweet will in this tract of land. So these two examples Srila Prabhupada would always quote and claim that the worship of Lord Jagannath or Lord Krishna should be for everyone and not just a particular person in a particular tract of land. Now, after hearing that the Mayavadi theory was defeated by Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada says that if the Mayavadi object again, that you claim Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but then can you prove how can Krishna pervade everywhere? Krishna is Supreme, we understand that, let's take it, the Mayavadis may say. But how that Krishna pervades everywhere as Brahman effulgence? We can't understand that. Srila Prabhupada gives two material examples to understand this point. He says, the first example of sun. The sun is there, immediately sunlight is there. And when sunlight is there, immediately everywhere sunlight is there. The sun doesn't take time to dissipate sunlight. Immediately, as soon as sun appears, sunlight is everywhere. Then another example Prabhupada gives is poison. Prabhupada quotes potassium cyanide. If someone keeps potassium cyanide on his tongue, immediately he dies. That means the potency of potassium cyanide is so much that immediately it spreads all over the body. The blood dies, the air is congested, and in this way, within no short time, the cyanide acts very fast. Prabhupada said, if a material element can act so fast and spread everywhere so rapidly, what to speak of spiritual element? And spiritual element can do, what to speak of the bigger spiritual identity that is Lord Krishna? Why can't Lord Krishna spread everywhere immediately through his bodily rays? So in this way, Srila Prabhupada again defeated the Mayavad theory. Srila Prabhupada also quoted once the example that how through imperfect senses we can't achieve knowledge of Krishna. Prabhupada said that people claim to get perfect knowledge through their own senses. They always ask that we want to see something and then we will believe. But Prabhupada said that many times we are seeing so many things yet we don't believe. An example is that of sun. We are seeing sun as a small disc from our own position. But how many of us believe that sun is a small disc? No. So if you want the information of sun, then you have to refer to some astronomer. And then he will say that the sun is 1400,000 times bigger than the earth planet. Similarly, if you want to know the perfect knowledge about transcendence, if you approach through a mental speculation, we will be illusioned. Our senses will not give us perfect knowledge. But if we refer to authorities, we will get perfect knowledge. We know that how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, not only was a perfect astronomer, but he was also a perfect devotee to give perfect knowledge. We know that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a small young boy. He had got full authority on the subject of astronomy. And he wrote a book, Surya Siddhanta. The book became so popular that even though he was in college, he was offered the seat of professor, the HOD, the Department of Astronomy in the same college. But of course, Bhaktisiddhanta, he rejected. And because of his contribution to the astronomy field, he was given the name Siddhanta, Siddhanta Saraswati. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was not only a perfect astronomer, but even a perfect devotee. Through his authority, we can get perfect knowledge of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also gives an example of how an ideal king should behave. And he mentions the example of sun. Just like the sun, it evaporates water from the ocean, and when needed, it supplies the same water in the form of rain to Mother Earth. Similarly, an ideal king should take taxes from the citizens and should disperse the same taxes in times of need of public. When the demand is there, he should give the same taxes he collected from the people for their own welfare. So in this way, the king should behave. Since we are talking about king, we mentioned a story about one such king who got favor of sun god. This story comes in the Krishna book. When Lord Krishna is in Dwarka, and in Dwarka province, there are many small kings, and one such king was King Satrajit. And he had received a favor from the sun god. And because of his worship, the sun god became pleased with him, and offered him a very valuable jewel, which was called as Samantaka jewel. And this jewel would every day provide around 2 tons. How much? I don't exactly remember. Some huge amount of gold every day the Samantaka jewel will provide. And because of getting too much opulence, Satrajit had become maddened by the opulence. And he had become very much proud. He would display his opulence. He would carry the Samantaka jewel along with him. And because of the jewel, he would possess a unique opulence in his body. And people will feel that, you know, as if the sun god himself has come. So one time when he appeared near the palace of Lord Krishna, everyone told Krishna that today the sun god himself has come to see you. For Dwarka residents, it was not uncommon. They knew that the demigods would regularly come and visit Lord Krishna. So they told Lord Krishna, the sun god himself has come to visit you. So Lord Krishna went outside and saw that it was not Lord sun god, but it was Satrajit who was possessing the valuable Samantaka jewel. So it is said, Lord Krishna approached Satrajit and told him that you are the subordinate king to King Ugrasen. So therefore, whatever you possess should be given to Ugrasen for his glory. But Satrajit was very much attached to the Samantaka jewel. He was not ready to depart with the jewel. So he continued. Meanwhile, one day, Satrajit gave his valuable jewel to his brother. And his brother went out for a hunting expedition. And it's mentioned in the Krishna book that while hunting, he met a ferocious lion who defeated and killed him. And the lion took the jewel which he had carried with him. And this lion had entered a cave where there was a great devotee named Jambuvant staying there. And there was a dual fight between them, and Jambuvant overpowered the lion and took the jewel with him. Meanwhile in Dwarka, because the brother had not come, even the jewel had not come, Satrajit was worried. And he started spreading a rumor that actually Lord Krishna has stolen a jewel from me. So when this rumor spread all over Dwarka, Lord Krishna was concerned. So immediately he went on to search for this jewel. And he saw that the brother was killed. And he followed the leg marks, the foot marks of the lion. And that were entering the cave. He went inside the cave and he saw a small child playing with the Samantaka jewel. So he took the Samantaka jewel from a child. Seeing that, the child started crying. And immediately, Jambuvant came out. And it's mentioned there that there was a huge fight between the devotee and the Lord. Jambuvant did not recognize Lord, his own Lord, and started fighting. And the fight went on for days together. And finally, because Krishna is Supreme Lord, he can never be defeated. And Jambuvant having a body of this material world, of course he was a pure devotee of Krishna, his body's strength started diminishing. And then he realized that no one can defeat me. And if this person is able to defeat me, he must be Supreme Lord. So he offered his obeisances. And then Lord Krishna revealed to him that he was the same Lord Ram who has now again come as Lord Krishna. And when Jambuvant offered that jewel to him, he also offered his daughter, Jambuvati, to Lord Krishna. And later Lord Krishna came and gave the jewel back to Satrajit. He was very much annoyed, ashamed. And then he offered his daughter, Satyabhama. So because of sun god's mercy, Lord Krishna was able to meet two of her consorts, Satyabhama and Jambuvati. So this is the past time where again we find the contribution of sun god. So sun gods keep appearing in Krishna's pastime to provide some help to him. There is one such pastime again where it is mentioned that Pandavas were on exile, and since they had nothing to eat, Draupadi was provided with an Akshay Patra, and this Akshay Patra was given by sun god again, wherein Draupadi can ask for anything from the Akshay Patra and the sun god will provide until and unless she eats. If she eats, then till the next day, Akshay Patra will not provide. So we know the wonderful pastime of how Duryodhan very intelligently at right time sends Durvasa Muni and his 40,000 disciples for a lunch, prasadam, at the forest, in the hut of Pandavas. And Draupadi had already eaten, so there was no scope of getting any morsel anymore. So the Durvasa and his party, they were taking bath. Meanwhile, Krishna came, because Draupadi was calling intensely Lord Krishna for help. So Lord Krishna came and he demanded, "I want food, I am hungry." And Draupadi said that already we have finished everything. We have to actually provide for Durvasa Muni. We are not able to satisfy him and his disciples. And today we cannot satisfy even you, Krishna. You are asking for food from us. So Draupadi got the Akshaya Patra and showed it to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna found a speck of grain there. He ate the grain. And as I say, Yasmin Tushte Jagat Tushte. That means when Lord Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. So Lord Krishna ate that grain. He was satisfied. Meanwhile, Durvasa Muni and his 40,000 disciples in the water started belching as if they had already had a huge meal. So when Bhima came to call them with his gada, they were all afraid that if we go now and if you don't honor the food which is offered by Yudhishthira Maharaj, it will not be good for our part. So they ran away from that place. So in this way, Lord Krishna, he saved his devotees. There is a famous verse which Srila Prabhupada often quotes, that is, Krishna Surya Sama Mayavai Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahanai Maya Radhikar. That means wherever Krishna is there is no chance of ignorance. Just like wherever there is sun, there is no chance of darkness. So this way Krishna is compared to Surya, Surya Sama. One of our devotees in our temple, he is from the holy land of Bhubaneswar. She was mentioning about the Konark temple which is there near Bhubaneswar. He was mentioning a wonderful pastime which took place. It's not a pastime, it's a history actually. So it is mentioned that there was a king whose name was Narsimha Langula. And he was a very devoted to sun god. So he decided one day that he would like to build a temple for sun god. So he called his very intelligent minister, whose name was Vijumaharana, that you go and construct a temple for sun god, and I want this sun god temple to be on a river. That time there was a Chandrabhaga river which was flowing in the territory, you know, it was meeting the ocean. So he wanted the place where this river enters the ocean. In the middle of the river he wanted the sun temple. So this minister tried his level best, but somehow or other whenever he put the water slab, the stone slab in middle of the water, the slab would either be washed away or sink. So he tried for many days, but he could not. So finally the king became very angry on him and gave him 1 week's time. If you are not able to do it, I will kill you, he said. So the minister was very much worried about his own life. He tried his best, but he failed again and again. And on the sixth day, the minister ran away from the kingdom to save his life. Meanwhile, the minister, disguised, was traveling here and there as a mendicant. And for many days he had not eaten. So he approached a small hut where there was an old lady living there. He approached and asked the lady that, "I want to get some food. I am hungry." The old lady said, "I don't have enough food for my own survival. I can't offer anything." But the minister requested that, "Please, something, whatever you have, you can give me." So there is a unique preparation which is something like a khichdi, which she offered, and it was very much hot. And this person was very much hungry also. So immediately he put his hand in the middle of the khichdi to eat, and his hand got burnt. And the old lady miraculously said something. She told that, don't be foolish like the minister who is trying to build a sun god temple in middle of the river. If you want to eat khichdi, eat from sideways. Don't go in the middle. It's very hot. Similarly, this fellow should have made temple from sideways, not from the middle. So it clicked, he came back and made a huge temple. In 12 years, he constructed the whole temple. And this temple is very famous till now. Many visitors go there. I'm not sure, I heard maybe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also visited Konark temple. And it is mentioned that when the sun rises, the first rays of sun directly falls on the seat of sun god in the temple. Of course, later what happened was the Britishers, they destroyed the temple. The original temple is not there. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely once in his conversation or his morning walk, he commented that because the Britishers destroyed the sun temple, therefore in London the sun doesn't arise. So London is compared to a hell, Prabhupada said, because there is no sun. and devotee was mentioning that the presence of sun is important in everyone's life. When the sun is there, the mind, it remains clear in his thoughts and is transparent. Therefore, a person can very nicely think also. But if the sun is not there, the mind becomes hazy and opaque. The devotee was mentioning, and because of this reason, we find that because there is not much sunshine available in London, therefore it's one of the major suicide rates are in, it's seen in London, because people become hazy and opaque in their minds. They don't know what to do, and many of them commit suicide. And London is well known for ghosts also, as some devotees who went to London, they explained. So people commit suicide because the sun is not present. In this way, sun god plays a valuable role in devotional service. We also know that how in Vrindavan Dham, there is one Suraj Ghat near Radha Madan Mohan temple, where it is mentioned that sun god was worshipping Krishna there to take darshan of Krishna. We also know about Surya Kund, where Srimati Radharani went and worship Surya Dev. The whole idea was to meet Krishna there, but sun worship was just a medium through which she could meet Krishna, because she was not allowed by her mother-in-law, Jatila and Kutila. So in this way, there are many examples like this, where we find sun god playing an important role. There is also the example of sun serving Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna had taken the vow of killing Jayadrath before sunset, and Krishna had tricked Jayadrath because no one could penetrate the whole army. Arjuna was finding it impossible to reach Jayadrath. So Krishna tricked the whole army by making the sun disappear for a short time. And as soon as the whole army became lax, immediately sun again came, Krishna played his flute, and Arjuna killed Jayadrath. In this way, sun god plays a valuable role in Krishna's pastime. And there is a last thing. Sun god also has three wives. One wife has especially, there are all these sons and daughters are very important personalities. In fact, it is mentioned the sun god has two sons who become the Manus. And we also know that how the son of sun god is Yamaraj, who is a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and the daughter of sun god is Yamuna Devi, who is a very powerful representation of Krishna's mercy for all the devotees. So this way, he spoke something about the sun god. Thank you very much. Any comments, devotees here? I'm not able to recognize devotees who are senior. Maybe those who are senior, please can comment. So would you like to speak something? Diksha Karunika Prabhu. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.